But I think you can go ahead and call the meeting to order and give the time
Okay.
in the meantime.
Calling the meeting to order. It's 2:01. I think we have to take a roll call.
I need to put you on hold a second. I'm sorry. And Julia's here.
Okay. We have Julie here, Luis present, Phil, and Heather. So we have the full governance committee present.
Julie's on. Can you resend me? I'm sorry. Resend me the agenda. For whatever reason, I'm not able to open it.
I just resent it. Hopefully that goes through.
All right. Sorry, folks.
That's okay. Luis, while you pull that up, the next item would be for public comment.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And I'm looking, and we do not have any members of the public on the line, so we can go ahead and continue with our agenda for today.
All right. Since we have nobody, let's move on to the consent agenda. Do you have any items? Yes, we do. Minutes?
Just a minute.
Okay. The minutes from May 16th of the governance committee. Do we have a motion?
I'll move to approve the minutes from the May 16th, 2022 meeting.
Okay, moved by Julie. Any second?
Heather, I'll second.
Heather, second. All right. Any questions or comments? Nope. All right, Belen, if you can take a roll call vote, please.
Yes. Phil?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
Luis?
Yes.
Okay. That's everyone.
Great.
Right. I forget how fast that is with the smaller committee meetings.
Yeah, I know. We're so much more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. Thank you, Julie. I received it. Moving on to the next agenda item, which is a KIPSOCAL update. Angela?
Yeah. So today, just as an overview for the governance committee topics, we're going to talk about board nomination memberships, some assessment and improvement, and then in closed session is the CEO review process. We're at a next stage in the process. But before we jump into that, just a quick update. So we are back to school and it feels really great. So I just, you know, I know you all got my email of pictures, but we're in our third week for all of our schools in LA and then our first week with Adelante. So it's just been a really fun start to our schools. We have the cutest, like the kids are so cute. I miss them so much when they come into school. But we've been having a really fun time. You can see these two students over here to the left, they're fifth graders at KAO. They're good buddies at KEA. When they saw each other, I was there in the morning at CAC. This is my picture. And they said, oh, we're at school together again. This is my friend. And they were so happy to be to school together. But you can see pictures of our little babies at Pueblo, at Adelante opening hallways with our new school leader for Corazon Lower, Michelle, at playing outside and getting into work. So you see our little student in the middle with his whiteboard, and he's writing his words that he's hearing from the teachers that they're sounding them out. It's been really fun to start. So far, just to capture it, the beginning of the school year has so far been very calm and joyful. Lots of relationship building and jumping right into academics. I was touring our schools this morning with Tanya Ortiz Franklin, who's the LAUSD board member from District 7. We went to Generations Ignite and Philosophers, and you know, I was in the philosophers' eighth grade math, and they were learning, you know, how to reflect and rotate shapes on a coordinate plane. I was like, whoa, I need a refresher on all this. But it was really nice by the end of the third week to see students like already progressing through, but getting back into academics. So that's been really exciting. It's also been refreshing to not have to socially distance children anymore. They can sit on a carpet and a rug. And last year at this time, you know, they had to sit in a very specific seat, couldn't really mingle with any other kids. We had to contact trace, and it's just a different moment that we're in. So that's very exciting. The two biggest challenges right now, though, are enrollment. So as we are working through the students who are not coming to school, we're about 93% to our goal. This is in line with what everyone else is seeing, both in California and in other states. I've been talking to a lot of the other KIPP CEOs, and we're all around this 93%. So we're all asking, if they're not moving to different states and they're not in our schools and not in district schools, where are the children? So I think there's an opportunity. I think that especially through this fall and winter, for us to really dig in, we will dig in around what the future of enrollment looks like for us based upon what we're seeing this year. But, you know, Kyle will meet with the finance committee next week to go over what the impact is and how we planned appropriately and how we're still in a pretty good position fiscally for this year, thanks to his strong leadership in that. And then for talents, we still have 38 teacher vacancies, if you can believe it or not. That's a lot. However, we are in a better position than many other people. And because we knew that this was likely going to be to happen, we put really strong contingency plans in place that we started preparing for early summer, so that our students would not be severely impacted. So even when I walked KIPP Ignite this morning, who has 5 teacher vacancies, you would not feel the impact of that. We've secured long-term subs, leadership is in there teaching, and they're not skipping a beat, even though we are looking for permanent teachers, still continuing to look for permanent teachers in that situation. Angela, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Angela, you know, we're only at 93% of enrollment. Are we able to consolidate anything as a result of fewer kids, you know, or is it just spread out like a couple kids in every class where there's really not much you could do?
Well, the latter part is mostly that's the case. So the kids are spread out. And so it's very hard to just rearrange the staffing to fill our gaps, but there have been opportunities. So we have already moved 4 teachers from one school across to 2 other schools. So we're making those moves. But what's also very challenging is that we have a lot of math vacancies still. Math teachers are very hard to find. That has been the case for the last 7-8 years, but it's even harder now. We have a signing bonus, like a math and science signing bonus. We are recruiting at, you know, universities. We're going back to teachers who taught for us previously. We are trying everything we can to bring teachers back into the profession, but it's been a really challenging, But I'm going to talk a little bit about some of our initiatives that we're working on to kind of solve for this. We did, again, because we prepared for, we told our schools, you need to prepare for at least 2 vacancies and have a plan. And because we did that, our average vacancy across our schools is like 1.75. So, you know, we're making it work. Not ideal, but making it work. So I don't know where the kids are, and teachers are not wanting to be teachers. We are having a crisis. It's going to turn into a crisis, a national crisis, if you haven't read the headlines already.
I heard today that they're considering mandatory kindergarten.
Right. Great. There's legislation proposed in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So that's good. And actually, Angela and I had that discussion earlier this week of the need to do that. It's scary. I mean, I'm as a parent and also as as a criminal defense attorney who at some point defended parents who were being charged with the actual charge was contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Oh, the DA's office at that time was filing criminal charges against parents because of absentees, not even just not attending, period, but just the number of absent days from school. And this was maybe about 15 years ago. Obviously, we never want to go back to that. So this is a very, very important issue for us to, I think we, if it's possible, Angela, I think it would be important for us to support that bill.
Oh yeah, we will definitely be supporting that bill. Yeah. There were a few bills this year that we supported, like the restorative justice bill, the Juneteenth bill. We all, Kip SoCal signed onto those kinds of bills. And this will definitely be one that we are very excited to do. We'll see how that changes the game. I think that, you know, where the students are is the big question of going to be the question of this decade. Where did all the kids go? So that's back to school. Of course, by the time we get to September, we'll have lots more information around, you know, where we are with the start, but it feels really good in our schools. If you were to walk on one of our campuses, you would feel very proud to be a board member, as it's very warm, very, well, literally and figuratively warm, but joyful, and our kids are just jumping into learning. So it's been great. Just a quick update on the CEO search. So we're still searching. We're taking our time to find the right person. We do have a candidate that is coming out here next week to do a full day experience with the senior leadership team in our schools. This candidate comes from an excellent charter organization on the East Coast. And she is from Los Angeles and looking to relocate. So we're, you know, excited about the possibility of this. We also have an internal candidate that has thrown their hat in the ring at the stage. And so they're moving through the stage two process. And I think that they'll make it to the final stage. And so hopefully we'll have some groundwork. As a reminder, the departments are split up between four senior leaders. They're doing an incredible job supporting the team, and our operations continues to run at a very high level. So, you know, but that's not sustainable. So we're, you know, still going through our process, but we are taking our time to find the right person. And so, you know, we're getting really good at operating without a COO. That's not the case for long. as it relates to the priorities for next year, so based upon your feedback from last time and talking to the senior leadership team, you know, we refined our priorities and have built out some initiatives underneath those. While it looks like a lot, we are making traction on all of these, and we have, you know, various senior leadership team members taking ownership and moving these forward. So some of the highlights here are the under the recruit and retain top talent, we're really coming up with innovative career pathway programs to bring in new talent. So we have expanded our teacher residency program, which, by the way, today is their first day of takeover day. So all of our teacher residents are teaching by themselves without their mentor teacher in the classroom, while the mentor teachers are at a professional development on site. So I got to see three of them today, and they were nervous, but really excited. And I went up to each one to say, congratulations on your first takeover day. And they were very excited. Thank you. I'm like, you're going to learn a lot today. So expanding our leadership fellows program. We're also looking at doing a fellows program for our after-school program, which is now called Expanded Learning. I just had a meeting with Michelle and Eric on the talent team. We are going to re-engage with a program called Roots LA, which looks at hiring rising seniors, well, juniors and seniors in college to teach our summer school program, to get them engaged so that when they leave college, they could potentially enter our teacher residency after having a positive experience. We're also partnering with some other organizations like the Teacher Village program in Watts that tries to place particularly Black men in schools in the community. So we're forging a formal partnership with them to place at our schools. So we're trying to really work a lot of innovative career pathways to solve that talent program. The other things to highlight that I'm really focused on is under the financial, operational, and political sustainability. You know, enrollment is something that we want to launch a long-term strategy to understand the situation that we're in and plan accordingly. And so I think throughout this fall and into the winter, you know, I have some ideas around having like an ad hoc committee with the board to really just dig into enrollment in public education and what that means for KIPP so that we can have a really strong approach moving into the next few years. And then the preparing for charter renewals. So next summer will be the first summer we'll renew 4 of our schools. It'll be under the new law, which is not new because it was implemented in 2019, but put on pause because of the pandemic. And we'll be some of the first schools to test that law as it relates to renewal. So I'm really hyper-focused on ensuring that we have a really strong strategy and pathway to make sure all of our schools are renewed.
And Angela, go ahead, please. Just briefly, just as a refresher, AB 1505, the renewal is tied to test scores, right?
Correct. It's tied to our academic performance compared to the state's academic performance. So they don't compare us to the district and they don't compare us to the neighborhood schools. They compare us to the state.
So it's not absolute. Mm-mm. And does the state generally perform higher or lower than?
We generally have performed higher than the state, generally. We have no idea how the state has performed this year. Those results are not available and they won't be available till November is what we're being told. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they're going to approach this coming after the pandemic when, you know, if in fact Tanya Ortiz Franklin today in our tour alluded to the fact that everyone has dropped. She did not talk about the district specifically, but she said everyone has dropped. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays into the renewals of schools. We're 4 schools of 28 that will be renewed in LAUSD starting next summer or into the fall, more fall than next summer. And then thanks, Heather, for your feedback last time around thinking about San Diego in a different way. So we're calling it Sustainable San Diego. And, you know, thinking about what it means like a multi-year green lighting strategy while also continuing to improve, you know, the health of KIPP Adelante. So they're entering their 3rd year with us fully merged and making sure that, you know, the school is really moving along, which I was there this week on Monday and Tuesday, and it's just continues to improve year after year. So we're excited to see that growth there. So this is what we're working on. We feel pretty good about these. The team is mobilized and energized, actually, to just move us forward. Any questions?
Okay.
So all right, well, move on, we're going to head over to governance. So, yeah. Okay, lots of we were going to talk about board nomination and membership. So the first thing up is, this is just an FYI, that we'll have 3 board members whose terms end in June of 2023. So Courtney, Mel, and EJ will come to the end of their term at the end of this basically this next fiscal year. So at future governance committee meetings, we'll discuss and vote on their renewal, but just wanted to give a heads up that these are the 3 board members that this is the last year of their current term. The other FYI that I want to provide the governance committee is that we do have 2 board members that we have attendance concerns or challenges over. And that is Courtney and Norma. And so you can see their average attendance for this last year's cycle of board meetings. And both are not any standing committee. So this is attendance in the regular or special board meetings. And so next step, I've already started to talk to Julie and to Luis about this, as, you know, chairs of the board and then the governance committee. But, you know, I wanted to put this on everyone's radar that we're discussing next steps, because, you know, we need strong attendance and strong board membership. So I'll pause for any questions on this slide. Go ahead, Julie.
I just want to, so when we brought Courtney on, we knew that attendance might be somewhat of an issue and she was going to fill a specific role. I guess the question that I would ask Angela and Belen is, do you feel like that she's filled that?
My answer is no. Belen. So.
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, even without knowing specifically the role, I would say no.
Well, it was her. It was her history with advocacy, and you know, I think it was mostly advocacy, and what you know her previous job was in D.C.
Yeah,
and I know she's had some personal extenuating circumstances. But I was just curious because we, you know, we brought her on like she's lovely. But we did bring her on for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
And why?
So go ahead, Belen.
Well, I was going to say it's like, no. And from that perspective, I don't know how much we have also like reached out regarding that. So I just wanted to give that piece as well.
Yeah. I know Joanna has tried to, you know, coordinate things and like, you know, I think, given the connections, we would love to try and get a meeting with the board, you know, the Secretary of Education, things like that. But we haven't been able to do that. I think, you know, Joanna has led the charge on our advocacy more than anything. So so definitely this is a conversation that we'll have to just discuss what membership looks like moving forward. And additionally, you know, our goal is to begin in-person meetings in December. And my concern also is that if attendance is low for Zoom, what will attendance be for in-person? And that is something that I want to start managing expectations now with folks and ahead of the December goal. And the same with Norma, very unpredictable with attendance. And, you know, we had a discussion a year ago, and we haven't really seen any improvement in the attendance. And they're both not on standing committee. So their commitment right now is to the regular board meetings and the special board meetings we've been having because of the AB 361 or whatever number it is, 163. What is it, 361? I was getting confused.
361, you got it.
I want to add further to what Angela is saying. Look, we're all busy, every single one of us. And we always sacrifice, whether it's professional, personal time to set aside for either committee meetings, but more importantly, the whole board meetings. And completely understand and are supportive of challenges that folks have or may have. But as Angela put it, if folks are having issues attending Zoom meetings, I think it's going to be that much more difficult when we go in person. And quite frankly, we benefit from folks being engaged. Those of us who are on the call are very engaged. And I think this organization benefits from that in so many different ways that we can't measure. And it's okay. It's nothing personal. If Norma and Courtney obviously have other priorities, that's fine. But I'd like to bring on folks who will be able to set aside that time without judgment of the individual or not. But I'm supportive of Angela and her position on next steps with both Norma and Courtney. Go ahead.
So thank you, Luis. So we'll craft our kind of plan and then communicate, you know, with the governance committee what the outcome is. But we're going to talk a little bit later in governance around resetting expectations for engagement for board members that we're going to go for in our September board meeting, which is our annual board meeting. It's like our kickoff board meeting for the year. But in good news, I'll transition to this, is that we want to bring on a new board member. So you have, I think all of you got a chance to meet with Naeem Arastu. He's been highly engaged. It's been a long, slow process, but he's been very patient, participate. He attended our board social. So some of you got to meet him in person, school visits, gone through all our process. But, you know, we believe Belen and I spent a lot of time with him, that he would be a great value add to our board with his prior experience, being a board member on charters, you know, his experience in private equity, and, you know, he's really passionate about education and has, you know, a lot of, an organization that he works for to support literacy. So, I would like for the governance committee to recommend to our full board, that Naeem joins our board. We can discuss right now before we go ahead and you all move to a vote.
I think it's such a great outcome. I thoroughly enjoyed my conversation with him. I think we just talked for like a half hour and we ended up talking for an hour and a half. I think
it'll be wow.
Great. Yeah. It's good.
Be great addition.
Yeah.
Really feels really engaged, really excited, great ideas, young, vibrant, everything that we need in a new board member.
I totally agree.
Me too.
Well, then the next thing for y'all to do is vote on this. But this is a vote to, you're going to take this to the board and the full board will vote. So this is just the vote to, you know, move him forward in the next process, which would be to go in front of our full board for a vote per the governance committee, governance committee's recommendation.
I have one question, Angela. Did we
see
a voting item, the associate board participation item?
No, we rearranged the slides. We'll get there. Well, we're going to talk about associates board today too, but that's not a voting item.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Do I have a motion to move Naeem Arastu to the full board of directors for consideration of joining the KIPP SoCal board of directors?
I'll make a motion.
Julie?
Oh, go ahead. I don't care.
Julie moves. Second?
I'll second.
Heather second? All right. Any questions or comments? Not hearing none. Belen, if you can take the roll call vote, please.
Yes. Bill?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
Luis?
Yes.
Okay. That's everybody.
All right.
Okay. Now on to some very exciting news, I guess. I don't know if this is news or breaking news or, but I want to, we're going to spend some time talking about board officers and governance committee. It's been a very exciting year. And Julie has been a fantastic board chair. I think was the right person at the right time to help with the transition between me and Marcia. Has just been a champion for me in so many different ways and for the board, and has gone above and beyond, as we say in Kipster speak, and being a board chair during a pandemic, a transition, the organization of our size on like 50 committees and all the meetings and the Friday night phone calls of Julie, I'm gonna make this really hard decision. You got my back. But you know, I think it's a good moment in time to make the transition. And so I'm excited to present a proposed new constitution of the board, and have asked Luis to step in as or to become our new board chair for the KIPP SoCal board of directors. Luis has been on our board for a very long time, very supportive, highly engaged, really supportive during my transition, and I think will help take our board and our organization to a new level. And so after conversations with Julie and Luis, of course, Luis has said yes to the opportunity. And so I'm excited for that. And it means that because Luis would become the board chair, we would need a vice chair. And so you know, this is an amazing committee. And so, you know, the first person that came to mind was had Heather becoming the vice chair. And Heather and I had a conversation today, and I think with her expertise, her experience and commitment would be a great partner to Luis, a great partner for me, and a great leader on our board. So very excited to take that. And then because Luis has to assume all the responsibilities, then Heather could become the chair of the governance committee, which would be helpful with the strategy mind you have, and it'd be amazing. Which leaves us an opportunity to find the officer, the secretary. And after conversing with Luis and Julie about this, we think, and I haven't yet had a chance to speak with Randy because this is all happening so soon. Or we've been talking about this, but the pieces are falling into place this week. Let's put it that way. It's asking Randy, who's been on our board for a long time, to become the secretary. And we would, if he says yes, also add him to the governance committee. Now, Julie, of course, is like a star, so would still be a member of our board. She's on, you know, the finance committee and real estate. I think she's on every committee, it feels like. but this would give Julie an opportunity to become a board member that would just engage, and I think set a really good example for what board membership should look like for our other board members that don't carry maybe officer positions. So I'm excited for Julie's continued leadership as a model of excellence per usual. Aww. So any questions, comments, feedback around this reorganization? And Phil, you're part of the governance committee. You're my gold star. I have a whole slide, a special symbol for you for all your attendance and your support of Kyle. And, you know, you're definitely still, we want you to be a member of the governance committee.
Okay, thank you.
And I just want to say, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, and it took a little convincing to Luis to think about it and check with his wife and whatnot. And, you know, it was really, I'm just so thrilled to have done this, but I'm also a little burnt out. So, and I think that Luis, you know, there's a bazillion reasons why Luis is going to be an amazing board chair. I just wholeheartedly endorse this slate.
Really, a huge thank you to everything you've done at such a critical moment in the organization.
Before I say anything, I know Phil was going to say something. Phil?
I just wanted to say two things. I think Julie has done an incredible job, and I really appreciate it. Everybody appreciates everything that you've done and your dedication. I love Luis as the board chair. My only concern for you, Luis, personally, is I hope this doesn't expose you and your wife to more risk.
Yeah.
But I applaud you for doing it, and thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And that was a point that was discussed with everybody, but thank you for recognizing that. First, let me say, Julie has been just an amazing leader. And it's hard to put in words just how supportive she's been to all of us, and especially during the pandemic, how difficult this has been. And she has made this look so easy and seamless from one fire to another. And I really look to her for guidance, and I will bug you, Julie.
You can bug me. You just have to take the brunt of it.
Yeah. So it's always tough to follow in such footsteps, but Phil, thank you for the vote of confidence and Heather and Angela and Belen and everybody. It means a lot. And it did take time for me to sit down and have that conversation, not only with my wife, but my two adorable daughters in balancing this. But I think it's important for me, especially right now where I am in my career at the Public Defender's Office, that I'm over our juvenile division. There's a lot of intersection with the work that I do professionally and what we do at KIPP. So hopefully I can bring a different perspective, a different layer of how we can do things differently. I'm not necessarily saying better, but just differently, having a different perspective. So I'm looking forward to this without fanfare. Thank you.
Well, we have to do some voting, and we have to take it to the full board to vote. And, you know, there'll be opportunities to celebrate Julie in the future, which she I know she's so excited about.
Looking forward to that.
No, I mean, it's just the right, it's the right time to move forward. And I think an organization is stronger as a result of new leadership, and everybody brings a new perspective. And, you know, and obviously, yes, it's been a really complicated few years with Marsha leaving unexpectedly and pandemic and whatnot. But, you know, thank God for Angela. it's the moral of the story is thank God for Angela, who is unflappable.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, so we need to do some votes to basically move this forward to the full board. So I think the first one we have up is the consideration for Luis to the full board for to become the board chair for KIPP SoCal.
Also move. I'll move.
I'll second.
Okay, Phil?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
This is what I don't know if you can vote, Lee.
Yeah, I think I'll abstain.
Okay. Well, abstain. Okay. Motion passes. Great. We'll bring this to the full board.
All right.
Yeah. Next is for Heather to be considered for our vice chair and the chair of the governance committee.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Move.
Julie?
For Heather to be the secretary and, I'm sorry, the vice chair and the chair of the governance committee.
I'll second.
Second by Phil. Any questions or comments? Not hearing none. Belen, if we can take a roll call vote.
Yes. Phil?
Yes.
Okay. Heather, I'm going to abstain.
Yep. I'll abstain.
Thank you. Julie?
Yep.
Luis?
Absolutely, yes.
Right. Passes.
That was fun. Okay. It'll be interesting, Julie, to not have you in governance, but we're not there for a while. We got a while for that. Okay. So the next item we have is talk about board assessment and improvement. So we wanted to provide a little overview, a review of how we did this year, especially as it relates to participation. So this year was a very unique year. Again, we had 15 regular and special board meetings, 15. We had 14 committee meetings. However, our overall attendance average between those was 71%. And the range was the low being 42% and the high being 89%. And so this is something that we really want to work to improve and engage. And I think, you know, as I see the school year starting, feeling so much better than it did a year ago, I feel like the re-engagement energy is finally starting to pick up again. We did have in-person events this year finally pick up. So we had, quite a few big ones. Julie, Phil, and Randy get the gold stars for the board meeting attendance as the highest. And then, you know, Julie, Randy, and Luis were really there for our events this year. And so, you know, we're planning more things this year, but I want to make sure everyone gets their gold stars, just like a good, you know, we are. That's why the gold star is there. But, you know, this is something that, and thinking about the opportunity to start the year off strong also means an opportunity to set some expectations and goals for our board. So what I'm proposing is, you know, framing to the board that the expectations are that one, KIPP SoCal board members are prepared and attend KIPP SoCal board and committee meetings. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means. And then also that KIPP SoCal board members participate in a variety of engagement opportunities in order to one, stay connected to our mission and vision, enhance and forward our brand and reputation, share expertise and experience with leadership, and steward relationships, connections, and resources toward KIPP SoCal. So we have some goals. We want to work towards attendance being an overall average of at least 80%. We want to increase engagement opportunities. So now that we're back, we're going to be in low tier either this week or next week. So we want to bring board members back into our schools. So having at least one school visit during during the school day. So re-engaging in like what our schools look, sound, and feel like. Participate in at least three other engagement opportunities. This could be KIPSTAR, ribbon cuttings, community fairs, summits that we have, galas, dinners, and then a participation in Giving Tuesday. So, and would love to hear feedback around this, but the next steps would be for us to reset these expectations during our September board meeting. We want to provide a training video on how to access all the materials that are for board meetings. We did do an audit check to see who accesses the materials for our board meetings, and that data was not where I would like it to be. I want to schedule one-on-ones with each board member to review attendance and their attendance and engagement this past year. My next slide is talking about how to better engage the associates board with our governing board. So I'll pause for questions around this piece, but I think last year was, a hard start. I feel like 1 year under my belt, I think I'm ready to be able to set some expectations for the board and how we engage and participate. Thoughts, feedback? Am I missing anything?
Super important.
I love how clear it is, Angela. I guess the only thought that was running through my head is this will be like a bit of a behavioral shift for some, especially as one, it's a shift. And then two, I think a lot of return to work habits are being reestablished. So it might be one of these things that's worth, I don't know if it's checking in every 6 months and flashing the data in front of the board. So you can kind of just a gentle reminder. So you don't wait to the end of the year and kind of regret what happened for the previous year. You give folks a chance to course correct as we go.
Good. Yes.
The other thing I was wondering, in the past, we've talked about, and maybe this is what the Giving Tuesday is in reference to, we've talked about it in terms of participation from a philanthropic perspective. Is that what you're getting at here, or is that a separate dimension that we should track and communicate clearly on?
I think the CCS study also is helping us figure out, I think it's like giving us the insight into everything. So I feel like for now, because Giving Tuesday is going to come so quickly and let's go after the Giving Tuesday. And if we feel then we're ready to then add a more philanthropic type goal and expectations for the board, we can add a fourth goal at some point in the year. That's, I think would be a good idea.
I don't know. I mean, I think actually if we're going to go overboard assessment and improvement, that giving in general should be listed. I know that the way we've always approached it is meaningful for your family, right? So everybody has different circumstances, and some people could donate a lot and some people could donate less, but a donation that's that's personally meaningful and meaningful to your family. Because I think Giving Tuesday, I mean, it's great, but it's a fairly low bar.
So should we say like both one, an expectation for Giving Tuesday, or which is, you can do that a couple different ways, but then there is the individual giving and described as like meaningful for your family.
I think so, but
Julie, I think that's a very good way to put it.
I like that. It's not threatening in any way and welcoming. I think so. And listing Giving Tuesday should be an example of an opportunity to give.
Okay, so I'll reframe that one for the full board. That's more about this little, and then I'll preview also that, as we engage with the CCS study and understanding like where we're primed for our next philanthropic venture, that we may add additional goals for the board around that. And so I'll kind of preview or lay that preview down. Okay.
Yeah, and also while Giving Tuesday is certainly important, it's the more important issue to me is the aggregate annual contribution.
Yeah. So
whether you spread it out over Giving Tuesday and other things, who cares?
Yeah.
In a way, but if we want to have the goal of 100% participation in Giving Tuesday, we should have that goal. But there should be the concept of the aggregate annual.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and just being upfront and clear about it, I think is great.
Okay, I'll reframe that so it's very more direct around expectations around individual giving. And then also at that board meeting, Tiffany is going to talk to the board about Giving Tuesday because it'll be around the corner at that point, since it feels like we're already into November at this point. And then for the associates board, I know, so I'm glad Cecily's obviously here for a lot of great reasons, but I want to make sure that all the feedback that we're really clear on, like how we want to engage the associates board and be intentional about it. So, and this is Heather, based upon your conversation with, you know, Cecily and us talking to figure out what it is. But I think I want to be able to present this also to the full board as like, here is our approach for the associates board. So participating in the annual retreat or other board governing board professional development opportunities. I think I'd like for them to, or like at least the chair or vice chair to attend and observe regular board meetings when we return to in-person. So I was talking to Cecily around the virtual space is unique because who gets promoted to a panelist on the Zoom world means something. And so, you know, making sure that as we have guests and visitors and things like that, the right time to have that in-person engagement is a great way for associates board members to be able to sit at the table with us. Whereas in the Zoom world, promoting to a panelist and that virtual table means something different to our authorizers than it does to us.
So this has really been Heather who went to an associates meeting and really pushed us, and she's totally right. Heather, my memory is lagging, but I do know that we talked to Cecily about this, right? Or you talked to Cecily and we'd have to ask for a material revision for one of them to be on the actual boards. We decided no. But didn't we decide that one of them would attend the retreat and one of them would be attending our meetings? But just as a visitor.
As a guest. Yeah, as a guest. Yes. And then also they can participate in ad hoc committees. So not standing committees, but ad hoc committees. And so I think as we move forward with our CCS campaign study, the other committee that we're going to develop that I talked to Louise about, it'll be very important, is our enrollment strategy ad hoc committee. I can see that forming around our December board meeting. And I think that would be an opportunity to add an associates board member to that, to engage with that long-term enrollment study and strategy meeting. So those are the two opportunities I see now for this current year. And then of course there might be another ad hoc committee that we convene as things arise. I could see an associate board member helping us take a look at our anti-racist standards that we're developing and like providing feedback and engaging with our talent and equity person around those sorts of things. So more intentional participation of the associates board beyond just their role as an associates board member, with ideally the idea that this helps create a pathway to become a member of the governing board, you know, as we determine the qualifications.
I think this is fantastic. And I love the creative solution here. I know the challenges with the virtual environment, and that was a non-starter. So love where we landed. I think this is going to be incredibly well received by the associates board. I think it's probably, if we're aligned around it after we go to the board, it's probably worth communicating that we're really envisioning this as the chair or the co-chair.
Okay.
Versus like random people on the committee. I think we just have to give them some guidance because it's a very flat organization and I don't think you want 10 people coming. So we just need to be a little prescriptive around that and kind of shape that path. The other thought, I like the idea of the ad hoc committees. There's some good there's some great organizations represented in the associates board. And I think to the extent that you want pro bono work from any of the consulting firms, the Big Four, or Bain or ECG or any of the others, I think you can probably get it through many of them.
Okay. No, that's great.
They're going to be excited about this. I think this is a win. Yeah,
this is great. So I want to be able to, obviously share this with the full board, but then go to the associates board. We'll talk to the chair and the vice chair about this and then, what this means. But I think for the whole associates board to understand, this is an opportunity for people to grow to then potentially become a part of the governing board.
And it's a nice example. They did a good job articulating their needs and what they were looking for. And I think the organization was super responsive in when you go back with this. So hopefully it's a bit of a vote of confidence that they have in the org and how much they're valued too.
Yeah, I'm just really thrilled about this because I had made it my mission. I had just said that if you're going to have an associates board, it has to be aspirational.
Yeah.
Right. So the associates don't want to be on an associate board forever. And I think Heather just really pushed it and found a really good way to be inclusive and have them, feel needed. I mean, and they do fit it. They run Mocha. They raise a lot of money in that. And they should be seeing what being on a board is. And I think, probably sooner than later, we should include one of them.
Yes. I'm excited, to get to know the associates board a little bit more closely this year too,
And thank you, Cecily. And it's important. So they don't feel like they're sitting at the kids' table.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And Cecily, thank you for going, back and forth and digging in. And even today, I'm like, Cecily, just confirming, it's ad hoc, not standing committees.
It is definitely ad hoc and not standing committees.
Yes. We could definitely get into trouble with standing.
Great. And then my final update is as a reminder, the annual meetings overview. So September is our designated annual meeting. This means that a new year begins in a respective term. It also means that we do our annual Brown Act training. So Cecily will work her magic to make that as engaging and exciting as possible. It will obviously reset expectations for the year and I'll inform board members about their one-on-ones. Of course, we'll have our KIPP SoCal update, et cetera, and go through the latest, but this is from a governance perspective, the key topics for the September annual meeting. So this is, you can anticipate these coming up. And then we'll do all the voting for all the governance items. Okay, that's it for my big section, kind of, because next we're going to go into the CEO evaluation process. So just as a reminder of process before we go into closed session for a little while, that this was the process that we talked about. Sent my material. I sent my reflection to Julie and Luis. The leadership team provided feedback as well, along with my reflection. We'll go into closed session where I'll make a preview, but then I'll hop out so you all can discuss me also. I'll make a guest appearance to talk about performance and compensation in closed session. Cecily will be in the meeting, in the closed session, available for any consult about what can be brought back into the general meeting. Luis and Julie will probably give me a preview at some point about maybe the September board meeting, but in the September board meeting is when the full board hears the review of performance and determines compensation. So that'll happen in late September at our September board meeting. So that's the process. So we're on track, everybody, from a process perspective.
All right. So everybody got the link? Wait. Everybody got the link, right?
I sent an email this morning to each of you, and I had both links in it. But if anyone needs me to resend it, I can.
All right. I got it. So let's go into closed session now.
Wait, hold on.
Do you have it, Julie?
Here it is.
You have several emails from me, that's why.
Okay, thank you.
I got it. Okay, bye.
okay, they're in closed session. I said, we'll be here waiting for them upon their return.
Yes, we will.
Hi, Phil. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Belinda and I were just busy doing KIPP stuff. I was like, whoa, board members are coming back.
Angela, could you remind me, who's our KIPP foundation rep?
Carolyn Hack.
Carolyn Hack. Thank you. Carolyn, I'm just having a hard time with names today.
She's moving to New York today, from the Bay Area to New York today.
Jeez.
She's very happy. That's where she...
Yeah, I think she's moving back to her same apartment.
Yes, yes.
All right. Okay, we're going back into open session at 3:26. We're reporting that there was no decision made during closed session, so there's nothing to report. Do we have any other... I think that's the last item of the agenda, correct?
Yep, now it's just adjourn.
So we are adjourning at 3:26. Okay.
Thanks, Louise.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend. Stay cool.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.